Hey guys, welcome back. BDC Kara here. We're back with our weekly Q&A videos. This is for season 11, episode 14. I say videos, it's videos and podcasts. You can get it different ways and we talk about it a lot, so I assume you already know. And this is the season of the Lost Challenge characters. This week we've got Mortal Kombat Scorpion is what you'll be watching. So his passive is Fire and Blood, which is Scorpion's heavy, which are his swiping combo, causes his opponents to suffer bleeding damage over 2 seconds, and his specials inflict fire damage over 6 seconds. He's got 950 attack, 850 health.
Yeah, so he's got low stats. I mean, his stats are even lower than last week's Regime Raven. Same attack, and he has 100 less health. Mm-hmm. So what can I say? I mean, I feel like... All right, so one of the shortcomings of all the Scorpions is how slow they are. Their heavy combos are slow. I think they might have buffed it a little bit, but not great. If you look at his passive, so he's got two parts, right? Even though they say it in one sense, it's funny how sometimes they will break passive abilities down into separate parts, and then every once in a while they'll just mash it all together like this. Mm-hmm. So bleeding damage over 2 seconds on the heavy swipe combo, you would think it would be good because, so here, bleeding is the best damage over time because it boosts damage taken by 20%. That's pretty great because it's not just basic, it's also specials. Problem is, Scorpion's a little bit slow, and when you only get 2 seconds of bleeding, you're really hard-pressed to get use out of it. So you can see here, and I'll get into it with a special too, but there's usually not enough time to really take advantage of it by doing special, which is where the higher output damage is. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to do another swipe combo, like a heavy hit, because he's slow. And we're in the world of, I mean, Tentone has basically made this a world of specials. Basic attacks don't have nearly as much relevance unless you can... your character, like Flashpoint Batman or any of the Flashpoint characters with Flashpoint Batman on their team, can have basic damage boosted up the wazoo.
Yeah.
So here's his problem, Mortal Kombat Scorpion. I mean, besides the fact that there's, I think, two other Scorpions that are better than him. He's not even the best Scorpion, mm-hmm. But as a character, so...
this is a tough spot to be in to start with.
Sure. So we are... The way we've set it up every time is when you're the star of the team and we're trying to see if Mortal Kombat Scorpion can be the star, you're looking at being a special specialist, and that's typically special two. So special two has two hits on that first move, the animation where there's a fire column coming out of the ground. It's got a little bit of range, which is good, but not a lot. So it's actually really easy for Master's Death Cart to shove the opponent out of the way, or even the knockdown from a combo to knock the opponent out of the way far enough that it sometimes hits, sometimes misses. Mm-hmm. So what's worse is the tail end of it with the three kicks, that's less ranged than the first two hits. So you're going to whiff a lot. Now, if you get the right spacing, what's good is that there's enough gaps in the timing of the different hits. So if the first two hits from the column of fire land, then the incoming opponent will take damage from some of the kicks.
Yeah.
And what's really good about him is because the damage over time on his special comes from his passive and it's not built into the special, he doesn't have the damage reduction that you usually see when there's a status effect. So he gets full value for his given attack stat. He gets full value for his special two. So he's interesting. I mean, there are much better options than Scorpion. His damage over time is interesting. My favorite damage over time, though, is bleeding. And 2 seconds is not enough to make it worth doing.
Yeah.
What else is there to say about him? I think they might have buffed him a little bit. I think originally he was even slower, and it's been so long since I played with him. He doesn't feel nearly as bad as he used to, but this is, he still feels bad Scorpion. Yeah. That's what they should call him, feels bad Scorpion.
It'd be ridiculous. Well, there'd have to be a whole feels bad universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's kind of worth noting in a lot of these discussions is worst doesn't mean unplayable, right? And that's the good news.
Oh, no.
Because I feel like pretty much everybody, when you combine your skill What you can do that the AI can't, sort of the way that you can manage sort of your resources and timings and everything, and gear, right? Almost everybody is pretty playable. Right. So most of those sort of comparisons of good versus not good is like, it's a very relative thing. And the problem is that there's so many really obvious places to compare him that he is worse than other people.
Right, right. And it doesn't help that in a direct comparison of just his own skins.
Yeah.
That there's better options. And so
those are the really obvious ones. Yeah.
So it's a nice coincidence that later this week, there's a good chance we're going to be doing a different Scorpion who's going to show up as the challenge character. And then we can maybe have a more interesting discussion about why the other how the other Scorpion is an improvement over this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you can see in the fight, right? It's like you said, it's still playable. Right gear, right team. You just slot him in. He's still good. He's definitely more than just a warm body meat shield, but he's interesting as a challenge character, really, for his stats being so low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there we go. Moving on to our first comment of the week. This one comes from Captain Hayes 1374. They say, great vid as usual. I didn't know the second part of Rebirth Raven's passive was so misleading. And like you mentioned, Riddler's Cane is really lackluster. But as a silver lining, I expect this online season will be relatively easy, for climbing the ranks. I recently started a spreadsheet tracking the final point thresholds for the top 1 to 5% ranks on iOS since Wally West's most recent appearance to give myself some idea of how much I need to play online in one sitting without constantly checking the leaderboards. But it's also given me some insight into the community's evaluation of the value of each reward, obviously with some nuance given that some rewards have been around for longer than others and characters require promotions.
Yeah. It's a good point. There's a natural sort of a split between gear rewards and character rewards. Character rewards
have more longevity.
Sure, because you need to rank high enough. Top 5% only gives you one copy. You're going to ultimately want 10. Is it 10? Elite 1? Yeah, I guess so. Because is there Elite 0? I can't remember now. It's been so long. But you're going to want enough copies to get to Elite 7 for sure and potentially Elite 10.
Yeah.
When you do the breakthrough.
Whereas with gear, you have to imagine that each subsequent season, there's probably some portion of people who like being towards the top whenever they're playing, right? Yeah, yeah. And who will fight for it no matter what. But, you know, top 5% gets it, right? So in an ideal world, right? In a world where you not only wanted all the best stuff for yourself, but you wanted everybody else to have all the best stuff too.
Yeah.
If, you know, you're playing for 20 cycles, right?
Yeah.
By the 20th cycle, and obviously by that time, you know, tons of people will have turned out of the game, right? Stop playing or whatever.
Right.
Theoretically, though, every cycle comes around, 5% of people can get the gear.
Right.
And that's up to 5%. So, you know, minus whoever sort of duplicates out by getting that high percentage point multiple times.
Yeah. And I think those are, there was a time when I was trying to get the badges.
Yeah.
For, you know, there's unique badges for being number one, number two, or number three. Not percent, but just literally number one, number two, or number three. I think I got number three once, and it was specifically the season, right? It's got to be that sort of perfect confluence of events where I've got time off, the gear, it's a gear reward, it's a crappy gear reward, and the people who are running the show are still making a bit of an effort to get rid of the cheaters.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, and I do want to point out too, definitely interesting thing. Like, I love the idea of collecting data. I mean, we've been doing it for a while for other things. The shame is, I remember that somebody on the subreddit for Injustice Mobile had been putting up information about the challenge each week, including what the thresholds were for each rank, like where the rewards split up.
In previous seasons.
So they would give you an idea of how much you'd need to get this time. Because it's a bit of a mug's game, right? Like getting early. This is why the glitch for getting multiplayer season rewards early used to be so good.
Yeah, because you could lock it in.
Sure.
You could do all your work in one burst.
And you don't have to sort of fight the part of your monkey brain that says, I'm in the top 1% when it's, you know, day one and you don't really have a sense of how much it's going to take, and you feel compelled to grind as hard as you can to get to the end. When if you had a sort of a better perspective of where you're going to end up in 7 days, and you can maybe pace yourself a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's good work. That is, I was going to say that's the Lord's work, but it's not, that's being a bit sacrilegious, but this is the kind of useful stuff. It's a shame that the information, the knowledge, the amount of knowledge that's been lost from injustice because of like GameFAQs is really kind of dead. It used to be a hub, the official forums gone.
Wiped. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're, I mean, listen, the subreddit is still good, but it doesn't lend itself to finding that information. I mean, maybe it's there. It should be still be there. I just took a quick look, and I right before we started doing this, and I couldn't find it.
It is very easy to wax poetic about how theoretically the internet and digital media makes it a lot easier to find and access stuff, but how in practice there's a huge amount of stuff that is lost all the time. And we can see with the way that Google is sort of getting worse, how accessing information that is not only out there, but like relatively recent, right?
Yeah.
As more stuff happens and as worse stuff comes out, especially the generative AI sort of slop content, you increasingly get, you know, your ability to just find stuff degraded in a worse way than you'd expect. It's not that it's not there. It's that there's a bunch of stuff that is less than useless that's there.
Right.
Stuff that will give you wrong information or obscure or obfuscate actual good stuff.
I've said this before too. When you really resent people collecting data, the best way isn't to deny them data. The best way is to corrupt their data.
Yeah.
So if you're going to a store and they're asking for your postal code and you resent that intrusion upon your privacy, because postal codes, we're Canadian.
Yeah.
Not zip codes, postal codes. So you give a fake postal code.
Yeah, they're the address system that matters.
Right, right. That's true. That's a good point. Corrupt data is actually much worse. So if you want to take a principled stand, and your protest would be to make sure the information is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Our next comment comes from Jasmeet Singh 5459, and you looked this up before.
Okay, so here's the funny thing. I know it twigged enough. My mind, my memory is.
Yeah.
I like to say Swiss cheese. It's ever watch Quantum Leap? I must have showed you Quantum Leap. So his you know, Sam Beckett's brain from jumping.
Yeah.
His expression, all because you'd hear the intro for every episode was his brain was like Swiss cheese or something.
Yeah.
His memory. So
lots
of holes. So my.
I saw a picture recently of somebody who had a slice of Swiss cheese that had exactly one big hole in the center of it.
That's not Swiss cheese. That's cheese that's been shot through the heart. So I thought that sounds like it could be the leader of the federal NDP party.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. It's Jagmeet Singh. That would have been so funny though.
If it's spelled Jag like J-A-G, but it's also pronounced Jugmeet Singh.
Oh, is it?
More like so, Jug a little bit.
Okay. So is that Jazmeet? Is that Jazmeet?
Jazmeet.
Oh, is it Jazmeet or Jazmeet?
Jazmeet? I don't know.
Okay.
But I know for Jugmeet Singh that it's pronounced more like Jugmeet than Jagmeet.
Okay.
It's not like it's not a phonetic English pronunciation.
So I apologize, Mr. Singh. But I wasn't really excited, but I thought that would have been funny if it was the same name as the federal NDP party leader who's playing Injustice and watching our channel and listening to us say, Canadian currency is the only one that matters.
He goes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what do you say to that? Does it ever work? So here's the thing. I think we've got three legitimate accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They are all good. They are not duplicates of one another. They are not banned. They can play online and they are loaded.
Yeah.
What do you think that's worth? Like how many hours?
I don't know. It's one of those things where like, you know, art from like artists where if it takes a while, people want the product for a certain amount and they have sort of an idea in their head of how much a thing can be worth to them.
Right.
But if you look at like the number of hours it takes and the amount of work it takes, sometimes there is no sort of logical meeting. The supply and demand side just don't make sense because the amount of work it takes to produce it is way more. If you're paying even like fractional, if you're paying us minimum wage for hours for it, it would be so absurd That it would be ridiculous to ask for that much money for it.
Yeah, thousands.
Yeah. So that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a thought, but it has escaped me. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on to our next comment.
This next couple questions.
Yeah. Okay. Two. Faded World says, did you guys ever make a tier list of the game? If not, I feel like you should consider... You guys should, considering your knowledge of the game. And then somebody else named Outfoxed underscore said, do you ever find motivation slash inspiration to do Injustice videos other than weekly recaps or Q&As? Still think a gold character tier list and 4.5 star gear tier list from you would be amazing. No, it's not your usual style, but still.
All right, so before I get to actually answering the real question, the sort of the one that ties them both in together, I do want to point out, I mean, people are coming at this in the last few years. We've been doing this for, has it been 10 years yet?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
More than 10 years. So I think 2014, if you look at like our OG BDCKR account, I looked this up recently.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. It was like sometime like late 2013, I believe, was our first uploaded video.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary to us. We missed it. Yeah. We should have celebrated. All right. So I do want to point out that early on, we did do a lot more videos when we were, I guess, younger and had more juice.
Yeah.
That we did a series on gears. We did a bunch of play videos. We did survivor videos. We did lots of tip videos. And they weren't bad. They're still good. A lot of them are still relevant. They changed a little bit. I mean, you have to, I guess, take into account the newer gears before you take everything that we say in some of those at face value. Mm-hmm. But we've been doing this a long time. And if you're interested in stuff like that, then you know what? I'm going to flip it on the viewers.
Yeah.
So everybody's always asking us, hey, give us a tier list. I'm going to first say that besides the really awful ones, like the characters that are worse than their stats because of how they play and how their passive makes them worse.
Most people are kind of just all right.
Most of them are all right. There's a lot of them are all right.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
So, yeah, I know. I love how it all ties in. So the only thing that's really interesting to me is the S tier, because let's face it, I think if you're going to be worried about all the A, B, C, D, E, you're just going to collect them all.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? What you really want to know is which characters do you really want to get and not miss when they are around and you want to grab them? And I'm not going to answer that today. I'm going to say, I want to hear from you guys who are watching or listening.
What you think the S tiers are.
Yeah. And I want you, not just who they are, but why you think they belong on the S tier.
And then we will respond and review your selections and then provide our own S tier selections.
Yeah, or just,
And this is your opportunity to convince us.
Sure, yeah.
To remind us of people that we missed out
on. Oh, is it going to be that obnoxious guy who's saying, convince me that, you know, he's sitting at a table in the park and he's got that sign, it's a meme, right?
Oh, yeah, Steven Crowder, the Change My Mind meme.
Yeah.
With the initial version of that being, there are only two genders, because he was a right-wing dillweed. That was the OG unphotoshopped version of that image. And his whole shtick was showing up on university campuses and winning quote-unquote debates against random angry passerby. Because there were university students. They could understand on an intellectual level that he was saying something that was wrong and harmful. And so they would come at it from sort of a this is wrong and harmful lens. And then he has one, media training, and two, you know, this is his job, right? So he's real deep in sort of the things that sound convincing, right? Like his 9-to-5 is convincing people of that kind of sort of harmful rhetoric. And so then obviously he would debate circles around, you know, a random person who comes up and who's just ticked off, right? He seems less mad. He's turned it into a debate. It's a theater of the mind.
Well,
he's
like, you're theater.
You're angry. And you didn't prepare for this debate that you didn't know you were going to get into until you walked by my transphobic sign. I win checkmate, liberal.
So this is what's wild to me, is that people challenge people to debates on an ideological basis. Like, somehow that is going to be convincing. To me, a debate, literally, it, like you said, theater, it's a performance.
Mm-hmm.
So who gives a better performance? It changes none of the underlying information. And if anything, a debate is probably the worst way to determine any kind of policy, any kind of ideology, mm-hmm. any kind of principle, because yeah. you don't have the chance to look up information, to fact check it and get it right. And you see this in debates where if you actually have good fact checkers who can do it in real time,
yeah.
it changes the whole tone of, not exactly, it changes everything, like how convincing any of yeah. it is. Just because somebody sounds convincing and they're reasonable doesn't actually make it right.
Debating is a skill entirely separate from finding the truth.
Yeah.
And
well, as much as there is a truth, right? Like, I mean,
yeah. And good debating often works best when what you can do is predict what the other person is going to say right. and then outflank them. So it's really like a preparation based activity rather than a like truth. And again, you make a good point about sort of the idea of objective truth. And that is kind of a little bit more of like a Western sort of school of thought of right. finding one concrete objective truth when usually the world is much more nuanced right. than that. Anything that you can find as information, I mean, even all of our best sort of like systems for understanding really basic stuff about the world, like physics, right?
Yeah.
The entire thing is you are modeling with increasing accuracy the way that the world is, and you know that it's not a good model because there are always parts where it breaks. There are measurable parts yeah. where it stops working, right? And yeah. You know, all the physics that you learn in high school breaks when you hit certain sizes, certain temperatures, certain, you know, amounts of energy. They're clear and known limits to your sort of modeling. So,
right.
And that's sort of the most baseline thing of like gravity exists. Okay, but what is gravity? Okay, but how does it work? And all of our models are successive approximations that get right. closer to describing how the world works in most situations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What else do we have to say about that?
Okay. I mean, we're talking about, our usual style. It's interesting, you know, our usual style right now is essentially some injustice stuff, but I would argue that sort of the heart of our channel now is kind of the straight dude pull to starting a podcast because you think what you have to say is interesting in the trench coat of a gaming channel, right?
In the trench coat. Okay, that's funny.
We're wearing sort of our gaming channel status kind of as like a disguise to hide the fact that we just talk about whatever we want, and we use people's comments as sort of seed points, and those comments right. are often about right. injustice, so often our content is about injustice.
I mean, if you separate the sort of the audio content from video content, I guess you could make that case. Yeah. I mean, but every week it's footage. And I remember when we were doing more of the commentary kind of stuff yeah. and doing a deeper dive into each multiplayer team, because it didn't used to be trying to highlight one character, right? It used to be highlighting a specific combination that we liked.
Yeah.
Then it's easy to run out of things to say about what's happening on the screen because
it's true.
It's a lot of the same stuff. So I feel like it's a natural extension. So it's still fundamentally, like if the visual half is all injustice and the audio part is some injustice and some of us rambling.
That's true. Then
I think it's still pretty.
But there used to be, tight. There used to be, and there still are commentary channels that often put like just random gameplay on the screen.
Oh yeah,
like, that's a whole subcategory of stuff.
Oh, is
the,
it?
The one that is most common is either random like multiplayer shooters or one that still is super common as like it's almost like a sort of a meme or like a sub sort of genre of it is people, there are these maps in Counter-Strike that you get your knife out because you move the fastest, and there are these like surfing maps where they use like level geometry and you slide along it really fast, and they're like parkour maps. I don't even know what they're called, but I have never played one of them ever, and I've seen tons of that stuff because there's a lot of people. It's there's like a joke now with like slop content where like on TikTok or other platforms there will be like Subway Surfers gameplay or like random mobile gameplay or like a slime video or like an ASMR video on one half of the screen to help keep people's attention. And some that sort of Counter-Strike like parkour maps were like the OG version of that. So there's actually a lot of sort of content right now that has random stuff appended to it that just helps people keep their focus on it theoretically and has nothing to do with the content. So on that level,
that's us.
that is us. And so, like, you know, one of the jokes will be that there will be like a Family Guy clip, and then there'll be something else in the bottom. And then there's even versions of it where people do like a fake Family Guy clip where they're using a Family Guy clip and then they've lip synced it. And then at one point, the Family Guy characters stop what they're talking about and start commenting on the gameplay that's happening below them and stuff like that. So there's remixes and variations and stuff. So to me, actually, a couple years ago, I would say closer to, I would agree with you, but even then there was still some commentary stuff. But increasingly, having random gameplay attached to a video that has nothing to do with the video is becoming more and more common. So I think there's a whole sort of subculture that has sprung up that you were not aware of. That so kind of
were we the vanguard of that? Like, were we?
I think
like,
we're we the cutting inspired edge. It. Yeah,
I don't know if we inspired. Okay, so let's pretend we inspired it. Yeah. But if we were going to be realistic, maybe we didn't inspire, but maybe we were on the cutting edge of it. Because I don't was it a thing before we started doing that?
I think it was for commentary channels, but it was unrelated. I mean, we're still not really in the cultural zeitgeist with it because our content is actually related.
Sure.
If we were just posted some nonsense, if all of our talking points were the same, but it was like my Valorant clips. Yeah. Which, again, I tried to play Valorant recently. I haven't played in a little while. I'm so bad at it. I was never good at it, but I'm so out of practice that I'm, like, extra bad at it. Anyways, so importantly, there's cultural context that you might be missing. And I think that's a great point to end it off for this week. Mm-hmm. To finish up, we'd like to give a huge thank you to our lovely patrons on Patreon.
And that would be Michael DeVries, Irvin Ruiz, Hoshi127, and Nora Klimek, who are supporting us on the credited level. And 5x5, who's supporting us on the gratitude level.
There we go. Thank you so much for your support. And thanks so much to all of you for watching, hanging out with us for 26, almost 27 minutes. We'll see you next time.
Komoda!